Joining me now is Matt Welsh, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine, who lives with these arguments 24-7. Matt, welcome to Freedom Watch.
Thanks for having me, Judge.
So who's going to co-opt whom, in your view? Is the GOP going to co-opt the Tea Partiers and just turn them into ordinary big government Republicans? Or is the Tea Party group going to take over the Republican Party and bring them back to their Barry Goldwater roots?
One thing that's really interesting right now is that in a couple of recent polls, the Tea Party has actually come out getting more support from the public than the Republican Party, or at least feeling more popularly inclined towards the Tea Party, which tells you a lot about what the Republicans did to themselves during 8 years of Republican rule in Washington. The Republican brand is in tatters. They will do well in 2010. They'll do wonderfully well. They already have been doing great, but that's just because they're receiving the other swing of the pendulum right now. There's widespread voter disgust, not just dissatisfaction, but disgust at sort of Bush-Obama bailout economics and the horrible state of the economy, and there hasn't been any natural political home for that. So you have these Tea Party people who have been, even though they're not a specific party or anything like that, they have been saying consistently over and over again, we are against the rapid growth of government. That focus on message has been something that has really startled the Republican Party, and they're trying to co-opt it and catch the tiger by the tail, but it's unclear they're going to be able to.
I agree with you fully. I would think that if Barry Goldwater were still in the United States Senate, or had been in the U.S. Senate when George W. Bush was president, he would have voted against many of the things that the administration pushed. The Patriot Act, which assaults the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, an undeclared war, paying for the war on a credit card, taking over and federalizing education, taking over prescription drugs for seniors. There's nothing particularly Republican. There's nothing at all conservative. There's nothing even constitutional about any of this stuff. Yet, Matt, many of the same Republicans, I can name names and you and I know who they are, who were arguing so fiercely against President Obama's big government version of the planning the economy, went along with it when it was proposed
Absolutely.
By a Republican in the White House. Why?
Well, because of the corruptions of governance, for one thing. But another thing is because the Republican Party, very consciously, led by both George W. Bush and John McCain in the run-up to the 2000 campaign, they explicitly ran against libertarianism. They both of them came up, one with compassionate conservatism, the other with national greatness conservatism. But it was a reaction against the sort of 1994 revolution of limited government strains. Bush increased the Department of Education funding by 80% in 5 years. This is, only a few years after we were supposed to eliminate that, according to Republicans. So there was a concerted effort to bring this kind of coalition behind people who believed in this national greatness and open-ended everything in terms of growing the state. That is who we got in Washington. So it's not a surprise at all that those same people didn't have any kind of fundamental backbone or set of principles that they could go off of when the economic crisis hit in the fall of 2008. So their behavior was totally predictable, and their sort of opportunism right now is equally predictable. The question is, how much are people going to believe it? And then also, who is going to be in control of it? Is it going to be the new rabble from the outside coming in trying to redefine it? Or is it going to be the people like Bill Kristol, who's now saying the Tea Party is the greatest thing that have happened to the Republican Party in years, trying to sort of control it and shape it for their own ends?
We are chatting with Matt Welsh, who's the editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. Bill Kristol taking credit for the Tea Parties. My, how the times have changed. I was at CPAC last week, and I'll make a couple of observations. You tell me what you think. George W. Bush was booed and was attacked second only to Barack Obama. Mitt Romney used the opportunity virtually to launch his campaign for the presidency, and yet he was clobbered in the straw poll by Ron Paul, who says he hasn't decided whether or not he's going to run yet. And there's the list of how they did. Ron Paul 31%, Mitt Romney 22%, everybody else in single digits. And the average age of the group there, I don't know what the mathematical average is, but it looked to me like the overwhelming majority were under 30. Question, is the youth, are young people about to lead this movement toward a more freedom-oriented, less big government-oriented base?
They will certainly try. David Bose from the Cato Institute has come out with a couple of recent surveys that are fascinating, showing the libertarian tendency in American politics. He's put the number at like 14% of the electorate are basically fiscally conservative, socially tolerant. But what's really interesting is what happens when you skew those numbers among people who are libertarians, even if they don't call themselves that, who are under 30.
Right.
Those people voted not for John McCain, like the broader libertarians did in 2008, but for Barack Obama in 2008, because they are sick of specifically civil liberties records, records on things like gay marriage and elsewhere. And those people have no legacy memory of the Republican Party ever being any good on the issues that they care about.
Do we really have
those people are the future.
Do we really have a two-party system in the country, or is it one party called Big Government Party? Well, it has no name if it's one party, with a Democratic version that likes taxes and transfer payments, and a Republican version that likes deficits and war?
We definitely have a duopoly. They rig the competition so that no one else can get up in there. They have a guaranteed revenue stream. This is the biggest problem. I mean, every other industry has been hit with a revolution of consumers using their choice and using the internet and technology to empower themselves and go away from being a captive audience member. In politics, we don't have that choice, unfortunately. But I take heart in the fact that this is an unsustainable situation. Not only are the economics unsustainable currently, we have way too many obligations for public employee unions and their pensions and healthcare and all this nonsense that we're seeing everywhere in the country, but it's also unsustainable politically. Bailout economics are hysterically unpopular, and they're getting less popular, and there is no political party who's really standing up for it. So something within all of that has to give. I'm guardedly optimistic that something in this big mix, in this moment that's really dynamic and filled with righteous anger, is going to produce something. I don't know what it's going to be. I would hope that it's something with a different name altogether, and that we get away from the sort of 19th century political groupings that we've had in this country that bear little resemblance to actual governance.
Matt, I share your optimism. Matt Welsh, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Judge.
You can catch today's show on foxnews.com/freedomwatch.